This episode of the CMO Suite is brought to you by Uconex. Uconex provides digital solutions and teams to brand CMOs, VPs, and marketers looking for true transparency in the biddable media space. From paid social and PPC to complex platforms like the Trade Desk, brands from across the world have connected to Uconex. Visit them today at uconex.com. And No Kid Hungry. We're proud to promote No Kid Hungry and their many initiatives to help kids in need of meals. No Kid Hungry helps kids be kids, not be hungry. Visit them at nokidhungry.org. And finally, we're proud that Season 3 of the CMO Suite is presented by the CMOCouncil.org as their official marketers podcast. The Chief Marketing Officer Council is the only global network of executives specifically dedicated to high-level knowledge exchange, thought leadership, and personal relationship building among senior corporate marketing leaders and brand decision makers. The CMO Council's 15,000-plus members control more than $550 billion in aggregated annual marketing expenditures and run complex distributed marketing and sales operations worldwide. For more information on membership, visit thecmocouncil.org. Let's start the show.
You're in the CMO Suite, the podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
Hello and welcome to the CMO Suite. I'm your host, Sean Halter. The CMO Suite, as always, is brought to you by Connectivity Holdings. We are incredibly excited. We're in Los Angeles this week, and I'm excited to have my guest today. It's Joanna Popper. She's the global head of virtual reality for location-based entertainment at HP. How did I do on the title?
It's a pretty long title, but you did well.
It is a long title.
You got
title.
All the words.
You know, I think we've been trying to get you on. We come out, we do a West Coast swing of this every season now. And last year, I think we tried to see if we might be able to coordinate times. We weren't able to do that. I was really incredibly excited that we were able to do it this time. And I think, are you also speaking at an event tomorrow night?
Yeah, I'll be speaking at the LA CMO Summit.
I think I'm out there as well, as is Scott Griffiths, who was one of our guests last season on there. And I bring Scott up because his title was an interesting one for us to have on the show. Although the show is, you know, predominantly marketing, certainly focused, we target predominantly CMOs and VPs and C-level marketing executives. We also try to have a mix sometimes of just either guests that have traveled through that direction or guests who have made their way through and found a niche that we maybe never thought of or hadn't seen. And so Scott's was interesting last year because he's the CFO of marketing for Farmers. And so you know that you're spending a lot of money when you have an actual just CFO just for marketing. And he's a pretty cool guy as well. I'm not sure if you've ever met him before or not, but if you haven't, you'll get a chance to do so tomorrow. So, so talk to me about just that title alone. I want to make sure we spend some time in how you ended up over at HP, but how do you end up with that title? Did they have somebody in that position before, or was this something kind of made?
Completely new role. Virtual reality is relatively new for most companies, relatively new at a mass scale.
Sure.
And so, HP, I'm sure you know the history, but for everybody out there, this is our 80th anniversary.
Congratulations. Did they throw a birthday party or anything? 80 years. Isn't
80 years, yeah.
It's crazy to think of the fact that there's a company that's 80 years old and they're leading the way in some ways in technology and virtual reality. That seems almost unfathomable that a company that old could also be that new, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what's really exciting about it. So the company was founded by two founders in Palo Alto in a garage, that original Silicon Valley founders in a garage creating technology.
That really happens.
Yeah, that really happened. And it still happens. Yeah. So the two founders are in the garage. They were creating technology. They actually were working with Walt Disney himself to create technology for the movie Fantasia. So it's a really nice legacy of computing technology and media. And
was one named Hewlett and one was named Packard?
That is true.
I guessed that right. I did some research. At least I don't know if I did that much.
Yes, wave your hand over there if
I was close.
So since then, the company's been very focused on inventing and reinventing technology to continue to improve our lives. And so we see virtual reality, immersive computing, AI, data science, 3D printing or digital manufacturing as the future of computing. And so for us, that we've been through all these previous computing waves, we're currently in the third wave of computing. We see these coming as the fourth wave, particularly the virtual reality and immersive computing area that I primarily focus on, as that fourth wave. And therefore, it's very important for us to be setting the stage, building the foundation, and leading out what that next wave of computing will look like.
And you just called it the fourth wave. I don't know that I've heard that piece of it, but it certainly does feel that way. The days, again, of people thinking that virtual reality is coming, they're here. Now it's here. My kids play it. It's crazy.
Excellent.
One of their friends had one of the systems in our house the other day, and we're all waving our arms and climbing things and doing Beat Saber. And yeah, I mean, it's pretty It's pretty nuts, you know, to just kind of realize that it's not coming soon. It's right here. It's here right now. And you're right in the thick of it.
Absolutely.
And you're really leading the way. I mean, you're a huge, I feel like, at least the parts that I see, you're huge in the social media space to some extent, which probably lends itself certainly to the category, but you're at, you know, every event that seems to fit in the space, and you're really, certainly, obviously, as the title speaks to, you're there really leading the way to help consumers know what's coming now, and I'm assuming what's coming in the future.
Yes, yes. You know, we're still relatively early, you know, still building that foundation, and we have a lot of great products already in the market, and many more coming that we're really, really excited about to continue to grow the market and impact the market.
And you're based out of here, Los Angeles, but you travel, I'm assuming, quite a bit as well?
I do. I would say I travel probably about half the time. My scope is global, so we're working very, very closely with our teams and our partners in China and Korea and Japan, Australia, the Middle East, in all across Europe, and of course all across the U.S.
And so, when you're doing that traveling, whether it's here in the U.S. or it's overseas, how is that interaction? How is the interaction again in a completely foreign country? Do you bring a team with you? Do you have a team that's there to help you just guide you along
the
way?
Well, HP is an extensive company.
Yep.
So we have offices in pretty much everywhere. We have local teams on the ground that are know our local markets really well. And so we're working very closely with those local teams and our local partners.
And when you're there, has there been a country that you've been to that you were either surprised by, or you just thought, wow, I had no idea that's what this country was?
Well, I've been to about 70 countries. Many of my previous jobs I had either global scope or Latin American focused, or different markets focused. What's really fun and exciting about working in virtual reality is seeing how it's different in different markets, and then seeing where there's globalization across markets. So you go to China, for example, and they have these what looks to us kind of like a phone, a traditional
phone booth of
the past,
yep,
where a superhero would go and change into their superhero outfit. And they go into those and they do karaoke. And in some of them, they also go in and play VR, or they have, they've turned cinemas into VR cinemas. And so you have, chair after chair after chair of a person engaging in a VR film. And then, in other places you have, the Beat Saber, the game that you just talked about, that's a game that's taken the world by storm, and you see it in cabinets, in arcades, people playing it, in Dubai, you see that in Korea.
How did you know that was the game I was talking about? Just because?
Because you said we were the moves. Well, yeah. I know we're on camera, but for those of us who were just listening to audio, you moved your hands in a certain way, which is the symbol, the international symbol of Beat Saber.
My clear tell that we were playing Beat Saber.
Yeah, we know the moves.
You knew the international symbol for it.
Yes.
So it sounds like, again, some areas are more immersed in it, and they've completely created it as part of the fabric almost of all their entertainment, and others are just kind of on the cusp of that. Where do you feel like the U.S. is from that standpoint versus maybe some of the other countries globally?
Well, the U.S., we have amazing content creators here. And there's really four groups that we primarily work with on the entertainment side. So those would be Hollywood studios, location-based entertainment operators, in many cases, small startup content creators, and then VFX houses. And so the U.S. has leadership in many of those areas. And what's really interesting is when we see companies from, say, here in L.A. that are simultaneously expanding into Dubai and into Korea and into Japan, but then we also see companies from Japan and Korea and Hong Kong coming in and into the LA market. And so it's a really interesting time of globalization and seeing which content resonates in which areas and what types of venues and facilities and types of VR is resonating in different areas.
The entertainment industry is a flattening of the world in many ways. No matter what's happening politically, no matter which side of that you're on, one or the other, it is often a way for us to all see the world through the same lens to some extent. And to your point, obviously Los Angeles is in many cases certainly a leader for that. here. And you spent some time kind of in the entertainment industry, am I correct?
Yes, I was at NBC Universal and Telemundo for about 8.5, 9 years.
And so what were you doing when you were at both of those places, if you don't mind us going backwards?
Sure,
for just a little bit.
Sure. I was leading consumer marketing for Telemundo, which was a great, really fun job.
Are you from the U.S. originally?
I am. I was born in Chicago.
Were you?
Yes.
Wait, it's funny. When you said Telemundo, that it came out extremely, a beautiful Spanish accent.
I speak Spanish and
it.
Portuguese.
It came right out as if you were there. So you grew up in Chicago?
I was born in Chicago. I grew up mainly on the East Coast in D.C. and New Jersey.
What brought you here to Los Angeles?
I've lived a lot of places, and I actually lived in Miami for most of my adult life.
Okay.
I've lived in Chile. I've lived in Brazil. I was at NBC Universal, as I said, and then I moved out to the Bay Area. I worked at a tech company up there, leading media and marketing for Singularity University. Fell in love with VR along the way, but some of my time at NBCU, some of my time at Singularity, and then started working in VR and moved down here.
Family still in Miami, or do you have family, even though you've moved around quite a bit, where's your family
mostly
based?
East Coast.
And so do you get back much here and there, or obviously
yes.
wherever you can, because obviously clearly you travel,
I'll be in IAAPA quite a bit. I'll be in IAAPA, which is a big amusement expo
yes.
conference in the next week or two, which is fantastic. You know, it has everything from cotton candy vendors to huge roller coasters
yeah.
to a ton of virtual reality.
IAAPA is probably one of the coolest it's a trade show, really, at the end of the day. It's one of the coolest trade shows I've ever been to when I was much younger, and I worked for Nickelodeon back in the day. I lived in Orlando, and we used to work at a bunch of the trade shows.
Okay.
So when they would come to Orlando, they'd say, okay, we need booth people, or we need you to ride these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time I went to IAAPA, and they had really, gosh, even some virtual reality stuff even back then. But the roller coaster technology and all that stuff was so cool to be able to see what's already here, but then also stuff that really is like five years ahead of even really being able to kind of come out. So that must be, it's great. It's been many years since I've been, but that's interesting that you threw that one out, because that is a really, really, really cool trade show. And so when you go to IAAPA, are you there partly to speak on behalf of HP? Are you there to also see what others are doing in the space? Is it a mix for you when you're out at an event like that?
Yeah, I mean, most of the conferences, and we spend a lot of time at conferences and meeting, a lot of our partners and our customers are at all these different conferences. And it's really interesting, because in VR, we get to be at that intersection of, I'll be at IAAPA, for example. We're at all the tech conferences. We're at the film festivals. We're at...
You get to pick all the cool events, because you guys seem to overlap little bits of almost everything.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, VR is the future of computing. And so it's not just entertainment. We actually focus on five different sectors. We focus on across higher ed, healthcare, entertainment, architecture, engineering, construction, and product dev, and training, which cuts across many sectors. And so, there's very strong use case for virtual reality, augmented reality across all of those different sectors. And so, within that, there's different partners that we work with, and different places for us to connect with our partners, find the partners, learn about the market, continue to push the market forward, demonstrate what we're doing, speak and advocate for the industry publicly and on behalf of HP. So we're doing a combination of all of that at all of these events.
And although it's obviously wrapped clearly around computing and technology and gaming to some extent, there's huge brand implications or opportunities when it comes to VR, I would imagine. Whether that is allowing a consumer to have an in-store experience in a way that they never really could have before. But what are some other ways that you feel like are going to be at the forefront for marketers to be thinking of ways to really allow kind of this fourth area to be able to kind of immerse yeah. their brand in front of consumers?
Sure. So there's so many ways that this is being used right now. So there's... brand extensions, kind of like an experiential marketing event. We partnered with DreamWorks, NBC Universal, Walmart, Intel, a company called Positron, on a really big activation earlier this year for the How to Train Your Dragons installment, the third installment, and it was a virtual tour that started here actually in Burbank, where we are today, at the Walmart in the parking lot, and it was a pop up in the parking lot where you would come. We had esports gaming computers set up. There were actors from Dragons to greet you. There was a very long line of people to come in. You would, you know, after the actors greeted you, after you went in the long line and played the video games, you would enter the tent and go into a virtual reality experience on these red positron chairs using the HP headsets, and we had our HP backpacks powering the chairs, and you had the experience of flying, you know, with it on the dragon and touching the dragon and interacting with the dragon, and then after you were done, you exited through the gift shop, you know, where they had all the Dragons merch. And so each of the partners that was involved, you know, for Dragons it was about, you know, for DreamWorks and for the Dragons franchise, it was about bringing people inside the franchise and bringing people inside the experience and giving them that experience of being part of the movie, of flying on the dragon and touching the dragon, interacting with the heroes. For Walmart, it was about, you know, lifting the merchandise sales, and their numbers were astounding. You know, the numbers that they got from that, you know, exit through the gift shop tent out in the parking lot. For HP and for Intel, it was about having our technology associated with such a great property, and having all those consumers engage with our virtual reality. Our virtual reality technology, and so we've worked on, you know, projects like that where you're you know, promoting some sort of content, bringing audiences inside the content. We've worked with NBC Universal on Skyscraper, the movie. We worked with Sony on their Spider-Man activation, and so you have real marketing experiential events using virtual reality. Then you have other experiences where they're, you know, location-based entertainment venues like Dave & Buster's, like Chibitz Circus, like Spaces, Dreamscape, Zero Latency, Nomadic. Those are some of the ones that we work with here in the U.S., and then they also have international franchises. And then Surreal in China, VR Arcade in the Netherlands, Park Playground in Belgium, where they're often taking known IP, not always, but often taking known IP and creating that into something that is an exciting experience for audiences, but they're developing the ROI from that. It's not just a marketing extension.
Having come up through marketing, remind me, how did you end up here?
Well, I've had a varied career history, so I started in Wall Street, actually. I started in Wall Street in my first job and was focused on Latin America, had the opportunity to go and live in Brazil for a year, which was amazing. And while I was doing that job, what I realized was I most was excited about, you know, when we were doing an M&A deal, was understanding the strategy. So I went off to business school, had the opportunity to work at McKinsey in the summer and then go back there full time. While I was at McKinsey, you know, working with these brilliant partners and C-level executives at all of the big companies, the types of projects I was most drawn to were always marketing projects. And so I have there's a consulting or business school, you know, 80-20 theory. I have this theory in career, when you start thinking about maybe it's time to move on, find that 20% of your career you like the most and make it 80% in your next job.
Switch it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's not just switch it, but you're growing it, you know? So it's like, what is the part you love the best and make that a bigger part of your job? Where you love the best, that you're the best at, where you add the most value and you continue.
So it doesn't
learning.
Mean you have to start completely from scratch. You take the part that you loved and figure out how to water it and grow it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so from there, I, you know, went on to a marketing role. And that was the beginning of my first marketing role. And NBC, you know, then moved on to NBC Universal, where I really loved the media product, love working in a company that has, you know, hands in across studios, film, parks, cable, broadcast, really a little bit of everything.
What were you doing when you were there?
That's when I was leading consumer marketing at the Telemundo. And, you know, the two things that were most exciting to me and most inspiring to me were, one, the creation of content and, you know, the stories we were telling and the impact you have on people by telling stories and creating that connection for people around these universal stories. And then on the other side, the way that marketing had shifted so dynamically. I started at NBCU in 2007. And was there until 2015. And so during that time was a time of tremendous change.
Oh, yeah.
So the way that we marketed our products shifted dramatically. The way we distributed our products shifted dramatically. And the way our audiences engaged with our products shifted dramatically. So, you know, when I walked in, we were doing Yahoo banner ads, and that was like our digital strategy. And so it was there at a time and got to, you know, oversee what we did around, you know, our first SEO, SEM, first Facebook, first influencer, you know, just a lot of different changes that happened during that time period. Our first VOD marketing, our first, you know, OTT. And so while some of it, you know, certainly sitting here today in 2019 doesn't sound new and exciting, at the time, it was groundbreaking, you know, even licensing merchandise and some of the work we were doing in that market. And so I was very interested and intrigued in by that constant pace of change and the dynamic movement forward, and, you know, understanding where is the consumer, how do you find them, how do you give them that right message at the right time using that right vehicle. And I had an opportunity to move to Silicon Valley and work at Singularity University, leading out media and marketing. And I was excited about that opportunity because I had, you know, the idea that it would bring me, you know, to a
roundingness of, to some extent, or just something different?
Well, really what I thought was, you know, here I am, you know, we're working in the midst of all this change. I want to go to the, you know, go to that mecca of the you know, where a lot of this change is coming out of, you know, for technology in Silicon Valley, and understand from these visionaries, where are we going with AI? Where are we going with VR, AR, digital biology, cryptocurrency? And so, you know, I had that experience there. I led out on media and marketing. It was a great learning experience. You know, did a television show deal for us along the way. It was, you know, really, really interesting and amazing learning to be around people like Ray Kurzweil, you know, some of these huge visionaries and geniuses. And then, you know, had been exposed to VR earlier, but, you know, what I realized was one of the things I was most passionate about and you know, why I had spent so much time working in television was that storytelling aspect and that, you know, that connection to story, and realized that for me, VR and immersive computing was going to be that next great intersection between content creation, innovation, storytelling, and, you know, those new technologies and new platforms. And so had the opportunity to start advising some companies, start speaking, particularly in the marketing field, to CMOs and senior marketers about what VR will mean for you in the future. And then, you know, HP found me, and, you know,
built
this
the title.
Job, yeah. This job came along, and it's been an amazing, amazing journey. And, you know, there's so much more to come. You know, we just scratched the surface on some ways that marketers may use VR. You know, there's marketing now really comprises, you know, there's customer facing side, there's product development side, there's, you know, customer journey. There's so many ways that virtual reality fits into all of that. You know, tomorrow when I'll be speaking in the panel, I'll also be talking about, you know, how VR is being used in product development and in architecture, engineering, construction, pipeline process, and how we're now able to use VR to create efficiencies and to create, you know, much more efficient product life, you know, design life cycles. And so when you think all the automotive companies are using VR in some way to make that much more productive and much more efficient. So that's another area where, you know, VR is touching marketing. You know, automotive is also using it in the showroom floors, like really, you know, really anywhere.
Anything that's immersive.
Yeah, well, anything immersive. In a way, it's, where are you driving revenues? Where are you looking to decrease costs? Where are you looking for product efficiencies? Where are you looking to increase product satisfaction? And truthfully, that's, you know, much that's of it. What we do in business. And VR and immersive computing can have ways of positively impacting all of those pipelines.
Speaking of positive impacting, who has given you advice that you feel like really has positively impacted your journey? Because obviously you've really navigated your way through a pretty interesting space. You've almost, again, self-created a position at one of the largest companies in the world. So who helped you along the way?
Wow, there's so many great mentors that, you know, from previous bosses to coaches, you know, informal mentoring. My last boss used to, I mean, she had a lot of funny isms. One was lead, follow, get out of the way. So it's a good thing to remember when you're trying to figure out what your right role is in a company, how you can have the most positive impact, you know, and, you know, where you're going to really put your mark and for positive impact. And so, and then in the VR space, you know, one thing that is really close to my heart and really, really, really important is that this is a time and this is a moment where we have so many representative voices, so many voices and points of view, and that were maybe not as included in the table in past waves of computing that are now at the table in terms of product development, in terms of engineering, in terms of content creation, in terms of creating systems and voices for belonging. And that, you know, there's just amazing, there's amazing women working across, you know, across the industry as CEOs, as content creators, as engineers who are so inspiring every day. And so I'm, you know, just so happy to get to work with all of them, with, you know, women with underrepresented voices and, you know, everyone in the industry that is supporting and creating a much bigger table for all the voices to come forth.
We often ask, and I'll be interested to hear your answer to this. What do you wish you knew more about? You certainly seem to be at the forefront of almost everything that seems to be happening in the marketing space. You've always managed to tip, it sounds like, a little forward ahead. So what do you wish you knew more about?
Well, we're all learning every day, right? Especially in such a new space. There's always, you know, these, you know, large companies like mine, tiny companies with 5 PhDs and, you know, similarly in a garage as maybe, you know, our founders, you know, continuing to move the industry forward. But where I think there's a lot of really interesting intersections that I'll be leaning into further and working on more in the future, you know, around artificial intelligence, data science, edge compute, and, you know, as these all merge and converge with what we're doing in VR, I'll be working a lot more deeply in all of those areas as well.
Well, I feel like I understand most of what you said in this half hour. It went pretty fast, didn't it? We appreciate you coming out to see us, John Popper. I'm going to ask you kind of one final question as we wrap up. Again, we greatly appreciate you talking to us about this technology. My last question to you really would be this. If you're a CMO or a VP of marketing, you're somebody who's in the space, you want to understand, obviously, how content is evolving, everything that's happening out there. It certainly seems like the strategy wrapped around content is a critical piece for most marketers to start really getting a deeper understanding of. How do they go about getting a better understanding other than listening to shows like this or following you along the way and seeing the things that you're doing? How do they get started? How can they kind of cut their teeth in understanding where virtual reality can impact their brand or even, you know, their career path itself?
It's a good question. You know, there's the conference we're going to tomorrow is, you know, a great place to get started.
Which we'll have already been and had dinner by the time we air this, but yes.
Okay.
So you're going to good, just events
themselves.
Going
to good,
yeah,
events, following people who are leading in the field. There's, you know, coming to some of the different tech events. There's a lot of, There's some great podcasts that go deep in VR, like Kent Bye's Voices of VR, if you want to really understand what's going on.
Deeper than you? Oh my gosh. All right.
Ken is one of the best. Malia Probst has a great one as well. And then there's a lot of great trade publications that you know, some of them are very insider baseball, but you know, and I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, I'm on Instagram, and I get lots of people reaching out all the time looking to learn more about the industry. So always happy to chat with people and see how we can help support the industry growing, and how HP with our great VR products, our new headset, our new VR backpack. I don't know if you had a chance to try it yet, but it's a great one. And you know, everything we have across our product portfolio can be of service to help them grow their business through virtual reality.
Well, listen, we've had a lot of guests on, and a lot of guests who know certainly a lot about the brands that they represent, but you have infused this HP into the fabric of all of the parts of your conversation, which again just shows how much passion you have for both the product, the passion that you have for the industry, and we are incredibly glad that you were able to make it on to the show itself. So thank you.
Thank
again,
you for
Joan
the
Popper.
Invitation.
Thank you very
I enjoyed
much.
It.
If you can, take us out of the show.
Thanks for hanging out in the CMO Suite. The podcast for marketers who want to be in the know. Presented by Connectivity Holdings.
You're a C-level manager. You shouldn't have to know the difference between behavioral or contextual targeting. But your agency should. Uconnects provides brands and biddable teams direct access to platforms like The Trade Desk, Google, Amazon, Facebook, OTT, and more. Their U.S.-based traders can train your in-house team or provide complete transparency with no minimums and CPM-based service pricing for true transparency. Something Mighty Hive, The Trade Desk, and Centro simply don't offer. Tired of being the smartest one in the room? Reach out to Uconnects today for a free demo. Uconnects, the world's leader in true, transparent, biddable media.